Your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where we were talking before about the great passion and identification, almost tribal identification, for Republicans versus Democrats, liberals versus conservatives, Trump fans versus dedicated Trump critics. Okay, there is another sense of loyalty. You can call it a higher loyalty. There is a whole cult of quasi-religious intensity surrounding Star Wars. Yeah, really. And we have a brand new Star Wars movie. It actually is a Lego Star Wars movie, and it recalls one of the few ventures in the whole Star Wars galaxy that was a full disaster. They tried a holiday special way back in 1978 when the Star Wars franchise was young and new. Now there is another Lego Star Wars holiday special. We will be reviewing it. We'll be reviewing the latest adaptation of the Dickens literary classic David Copperfield. There's a new film called Crazy But Not Insane about probing the mind of serial killers, and a definitive documentary about who killed JFK. Who really did the crime? It features people who have been investigating this particular crime for more than a half century. And it's a remarkable piece of work. We will get to all of that coming up on the Medved Show. But first, we have an opportunity to revisit a little bit of a Star Wars theme in our Call of the Week.
The call of the week.
I get so overwhelmed. But, like, I don't understand.
It's educational.
Like, everyone goes to the bathroom on campus every day, unless they have some great powers.
It's informative.
Your talk show creates a hostile environment.
Feel the love.
I love Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro, please keep it up.
Hear the hate.
And you're the devil. You're the big Hitler.
Every Friday, exclusively on The Michael Medved Show.
And the winner is...
The winner was John in Chicago, who called in back on March 5th, 2012. That was the middle of the Mitt Romney, Barack Obama campaign. Well, not quite. The beginnings of it. Go to John in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't understand why you think there's something wrong with gambling. I actually think gambling is actually very Christian, and the entire thing is based on, I believe, what Christianity is all about.
Well, you think Christianity is about gambling?
Utilizing Christ's forces.
I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
And Christ's forces are basically things like gambling, smoking, cigarettes, marijuana.
The Force is strong with this one.
Wait. You know, why are these Christ forces?
Don't underestimate the Force.
Christ forces are things that basically produce large, they're very fruitful. Anything that's extremely fruitful would be considered a Christ force. And gambling is extremely fruitful.
Why is pot extremely fruitful?
Use the Force, Luke.
Because it produces an extremely large amount of labor at a very, very minimal cost. And the same thing happens with gambling.
What does gambling produce?
It produces revenue. And you know what the number one Christ force is besides Christ himself? That would be the banks, mortgages, okay?
Now all I got to do is find this Yoda.
And that force is the amount of money and the amount of labor that's provided to get that. And it, basically what it is, it's a reaping mechanism.
Most impressive.
Wait. Would you describe yourself? Do you consider yourself to be a Christian?
Oh, yes.
John, let the Force be with you.
Well, I'm not done, Mike. I'm not done.
I'm sure you're not.
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
I am not sure I fully understand what he meant, even 8 years later, 8.5 years later. But then again, it's not possible to understand every single American. It is, however, possible to understand the Secretary of State of the State of Georgia, the 29th Secretary of State of the State of Georgia. His name is Brad Raffensperger. He is a very devoted Republican. He ran as a Republican, a running mate of Brian Kemp, the current conservative Republican governor. And he just made a fateful announcement, which is one of the very closest, if not the very closest, of all states in this election, is the state of Georgia. And he has now certified the final count after a recount. So it means that every ballot has been counted, like 2.5 times, because they didn't recount a second time all of the votes. But they've gone over it very carefully. And they have made it by their deadline, which was midnight tonight. And here is the Secretary of State of Georgia, the Honorable Brad Raffensperger. Listen.
I'm a passionate conservative, and as I've said before, I'm a proud Trump supporter. I was with him early in the 2016 election cycle, and he's governed the nation by the same conservative principles that I hold dear. Like other Republicans, I'm disappointed our candidate didn't win Georgia's electoral votes. Close elections sow distrust. People feel their side was cheated. We saw this from the Democrats in 2018, and we see this from Republicans today. Working as an engineer throughout my life, I live by the motto that numbers don't lie. As Secretary of State, I believe that the numbers that we have presented today are correct.
Okay, and the numbers show a 12,000 plus votes certifying Joe Biden's victory, which, by the way, is a bigger margin than Trump won Michigan by last time. Last time Trump won Michigan, that was one of the key states. He, of course, won Georgia, but he won Georgia more comfortably. But Trump won Michigan by barely 10,000 votes. And Georgia, which is a similar population to Michigan, they're both 16 electoral votes. Georgia winning by 12,000 votes when he was referring to 2018, how the Democrats were disappointed. In that election, Stacey Abrams was judged to have fallen short in her race for governor. She was 50,000 votes behind. So given the fact that this is closer than that, and Stacey Abrams still believes she was cheated out of the election, the important thing is that she did at some point concede. And again, with now 17, as of tonight, states that have certified their results, it's very clear that the final Electoral College vote is going to be, as it was last time, a 306 to 232, though this time it's President Trump who will be checking in with 74 fewer electoral votes than last time. Look, this is important. And talking about conspiracies and resisting conspiracies, there is a piece in the Epoch Times, which is a conservative, very conservative newspaper published by the Falun Gong Chinese spiritual network. And the headline says, Trump lawyer Sidney Powell, President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it. Okay, that proof should have been forthcoming. And even in the coverage in the Epoch Times, they recognize that there are all kinds of problems with what Sidney Powell is alleging. And there are also very prominent Republicans now who are suggesting that the time for conspiracy theories has probably passed. We will talk about that, hear what Mike Pence talked about yesterday well, and a wild suggestion by Geraldo Rivera, all coming up on The Medved Show. Just a reminder that today we are launching the holiday sale at Medved History Store. You can get the entire Medved History Store library. It's well over 100 hours of stories that cover the entire range of American history. From before the Pilgrims. What happened before the Pilgrims? We had an attempted colony that didn't work in Roanoke. That was 35 years before the Pilgrims, a whole generation before they came. Read about it, learn about it, hear about it in exciting first-person storytelling, because I try as much as possible to use eyewitness sources. The whole Medved History Store library now available 60% off. 60% off. It's the lowest cost ever. You can get it either in download form or in a thumb drive or CD versions, and 25% off everything else. Go to michaelmedved.com and click on the banner for the Medved History Store. The history was made, and Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College, made, I think, a sensitive and very relevant point when Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, made the final announcement about certifying the results in Georgia, which 16 electoral votes are now going to go to President-elect Biden. He didn't sound happy about it. He didn't sound even relieved. He sounded sad. And that's to be expected for somebody who was always a Trump supporter. He was a Trump supporter in the primaries last time. And he's appreciated the president's leadership. Facts are facts. John Adams said facts are stubborn things. And President Reagan used to love to cite that. And sometimes elections turn out differently from the way that people want them to. The thing that I think is worth noting about Brad Raffensperger is that he's had multiple death threats from people who believe that he should have stopped the election and not certified it. He's had people calling for his resignation, including the two U.S. senators from Georgia, both of whom are on the ballot coming up January 3rd. And it's unfair. This is a guy who is an engineer, very successful, made a lot of money, served as a conservative Republican in the Georgia legislature, and got elected Secretary of State back in 2018. And honestly, all you can want from people is that they do a decent, honest, accurate job. And there's every indication that that's what Brad Raffensperger has done. There's also a statement that's relevant. It's from one of my favorite U.S. senators, Senator Ben Sasse, the conservative, Christian conservative Republican from the state of Nebraska. And he sent this out. Here is what I am telling Nebraskans who ask me how to make sense of all the different election fraud claims. What matters most at this stage is not the latest press conference or tweet, but what the president's lawyers are actually saying in court. And based on what I've read in their filings, when Trump campaign lawyers have stood before courts under oath, they have repeatedly refused to actually allege grand fraud, because there are legal consequences for lying to judges. President Trump lost Michigan by more than 150,000 votes, and the campaign and its allies have lost in or withdrawn from all five lawsuits in Michigan for being unable to produce any evidence. Wild press conferences erode public trust, so no, obviously, Rudy and his buddies should not pressure electors to ignore their certification obligation under the statute. We are a nation of laws, not tweets. That was from United States Senator Ben Sasse yesterday. And today, with I think the whole world sort of spinning toward a greater acceptance of the election result, which was a split decision, Republicans won plenty and still have every chance of holding control of the U.S. Senate, which is crucial coming up. But Geraldo Rivera had this suggestion of something that might comfort President Trump. Listen, clip 9.
I think I had an idea, when with the world so divided and everybody, you know, telling him he's got to give up and time to leave and time to transition and all the rest of it. Why not name the vaccine the Trump? Make it like, have you gotten your Trump yet? No, it'd be a nice gesture to him. And years from now, it would become just a kind of a generic name. Have you got your Trump yet? Oh, yeah, I got my Trump. I'm fine. I wish we could honor him in that way, because he is definitely the prime architect of this Operation Warp Speed. And but for him, we'd still be waiting, into the grim winter for these amazing, miraculous medical breakthroughs.
Okay. I'm sure President Trump would like that, but and I'm sure he would like to think that he is a shot in the arm, as they say, for the American public has been. But look, there right now are very real problems with will people take the vaccine? And ultimately, we would like everybody to get it. It'll be given first, of course, to people who are most at risk and first responders. But Geraldo, if you're going to call the vaccine the Trump, I think it's going to discourage some people to not get it. And no, I don't think it's a workable idea. I'll tell you what is a workable idea, and people ought to communicate your thinking to President-elect Biden. It would be very appropriate, whether Trump attends the inauguration or not, if in his inaugural address, President Biden, because he would be President Biden by then, would acknowledge Trump's very positive role with Operation Warp Speed, because the vaccine should not be viewed in any sense as a partisan issue by anybody. However, partisanship is so deeply embedded in us that yesterday, when Mike Pence, not the president, but Mike Pence, who I hope will attend the inauguration, even if President Trump doesn't. Mike Pence was talking about all of the progress that's been made in fighting against the pandemic. And the response from the press seemed to suggest the monomania they have on just one issue, as if that's the only issue in the whole world. We will get to that. We will also get to a major figure in Hollywood who has a new movie coming out, who says actors should not talk politics. Why not? We'll get to that and tell you which major actor it is. And we also have a whole passel of new movies that are featured in our newsletter, which is available for free at michaelmedved.com. And that you can hear about coming right up on the MedVed Show.
More of Michael MedVed in a moment.
Show, the Oregon Restaurant Association is suing the governor, Kate Brown, and seeking a court order halting the newly imposed two-week freeze restrictions. The Oregon Restaurant Association represents 10,000 food service and 2,000 lodging businesses across the state, and it argues the new freeze will cause devastating effects to their members and their employees. Look, do I think this is an easy call? I don't. I don't know the terms specifically of the governor's freeze in Oregon, but I do know the terrible, terrible toll on people who are trying to keep small businesses alive. And by the way, some of which could no doubt benefit if Congress would get off the dime and President Trump and Congress would try to do something, at least to bring back that PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, which really did work very well. It helped to soften the blow earlier in the pandemic by rewarding small businesses that were able to keep their employees. And it was one of those unquestionably successful government programs. Why not repeat it and do something for immediate help for schools? The idea that the Congress and the president are still balking at doing some immediate relief, I think, is problematic. Yesterday, the vice president of the United States, Mike Pence, was leading the White House briefing because he is, after all, the chairman of the coronavirus task force. He was appointed to that job by President Trump. And he talked about everything that was going on in the fight against the pandemic. Listen. 10.
From very early in this pandemic, at the president's direction, we have followed an approach to this pandemic that was federally supported, state managed, and locally executed. And to that end, this past Monday, we completed our 41st conference call with all of the nation's governors, every state, every territory. And there we spoke about our current circumstances where we see cases and hospitalizations rising, but we also continue to speak to them about the expansion of testing, the availability of supplies, and our ongoing efforts to continue to drive forward toward the development and the distribution of a vaccine for the American people.
Okay, that's appropriate. He ended the press conference, this is clip 11, without taking questions. And just listen to the reaction of the press, who obviously wanted him to take questions. Listen.
We will get through this, and we will get through this together.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you all.
Mr. Vice President.
Every one of you.
Why is the federal
government? And you won't work with the
transition. Okay. Do I think that's an illustration of what people kind of despise about much of the press corps? I do. I think the questions are legitimate questions. I do think that the president should answer them. But the vice president, who's trying to give a positive spin, yesterday, Joe Biden also did a conference with 10 of America's governors. He did 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans. And it would make sense, and I am sure that Mike Pence's instincts would be, to bring representatives of the Biden team in with him as part of this ongoing effort. Because this is one of those areas where it just makes no sense to shut the Biden team out of this process of planning for the vaccine. And by the way, and Biden yesterday repeated several times on no federal lockdown, no national lockdown, which puts him on the same page as Mike Pence and President Trump. And again, if you can't work together on this immediately required situation that demands some kind of cooperation, then it's a major, major failing. I was encouraged yesterday because it was not just the fairly liberal Republican governors like Charlie Baker of Massachusetts. He was there. The Biden video conference with the 10 governors, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, included people like Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas and the governor of Alabama, Kate Ivey. And that's a good sign, because the idea of politicizing a response to a pandemic that is getting dramatically worse, it's not helpful to the country. something that is helpful to our country, and I think helpful to the old world, whole world, was an initiative taken by Boris Johnson. He, of course, is a COVID-19 survivor. He was seriously ill, but he made an announcement in Britain that actually has been surprisingly well received, and it's a great thing. This is clip 16, Jeremy.
Based on our assessment of the international situation and our foreign policy goals, I've decided that the era of cutting our defence budget must end, and it ends now. I'm increasing defence spending by £24.1 billion over the next 4 years. That's £16.5 billion more than our manifesto commitment, raising it as a share of GDP to at least 2.2%, exceeding our NATO pledge and investing £190 billion over the next 4 years. More than any other European country and more than any other NATO ally except the United States.
Okay, this is very good news. He said something also that was very important, is he wants Britain to resume its role as a worldwide ocean power, naval power. And that's a good thing. And this, by the way, is something else where President Trump has to be thinking, and I'm sure he's called Prime Minister Johnson, attaboy, because President Trump was trying to get all of the NATO nations, all of our allies, to increase their defense spending so that they pay more money for their own defense. It's not paying money into NATO. It's paying money for your own military, which is exactly what Boris Johnson is doing. That's popular in Britain because they're facing a pandemic-related high level of unemployment. And, of course, building more equipment and adding more personnel to your army and your navy is one way to deal with some of those challenges. And bravo to Boris Johnson, trying to get back to that idea of rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves. Well, Britannia may not rule the waves yet, but they kind of rule some of the new movies that are being released in this upcoming holiday week, some of them today. One of them aimed directly at kids, and it follows up on one of the most successful franchises of all time, the Star Wars franchise. Is it worthwhile going to Disney Plus and watching the Lego Star Wars holiday movie? We will be covering that. And a truly stunning new version of a Dickens classic. And much more coming up on The MedVed Show. Wishing everybody a wonderful, and in the Seattle area, I hope, a little bit more dry holiday, pre-holiday weekend. And a great time to, I think, gain perspective on America and everything that we have to be thankful for next week and every week. One thing I'm thankful for is common sense from Hollywood, which isn't frequently present, but Kurt Russell says Hollywood and politics don't mix and suggests that actors should step away from saying anything political. I've always been someone who felt we are the court jesters. That's what we do, said the Furious Seven star in an interview with the New York Times, just published. As far as I'm concerned, you should step away from saying anything so that you can still be seen by the audience in any character, added Russell, 69. The performer is promoting his new Netflix film, The Christmas Chronicles, alongside his longtime partner, Goldie Hawn. We will get to that when it comes out, but there are a passel of new movies, some of which are extraordinary, that are released this week. Music Maestro. Okay, probably the most eagerly anticipated movie, for all kinds of reasons, is the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. And this is available on Disney Plus. You'll be able to stream it there. And it follows up an epic disaster, because back in 1978, and I didn't even remember this, they tried to do a holiday special with Star Wars using Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and a lot of the original cast from the original Star Wars. And it's so bad that they've actually, the Lucas company that produced it, of course, they've tried to hide it. You can't see it, even if you want to. But this new one is different because it features not real live actors, but toys. And the toys have Rey in it from the new Star Wars series. And, of course, they have Han Solo. And they have all sorts of Yoda is very much part of it, Chewbacca. One of the problems with the film is they're all little Lego toys, so they all kind of look the same. And it makes it a little bit more confusing. But what's not confusing is the unspoken, and I'll explain unspoken, Christmas theme in the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. Listen.
'Twas the night before Life Day, in a galaxy far, far away.
Looking good. Tree, food, decorations.
Coming together, heroes were, to celebrate the day.
Oh, Master Luke, what are you doing?
It's a key to travel across space and time.
I will change the future.
So sure are you?
Mm-hmm. Less talky-talky, more fighty-fighty.
Okay, it's a plot that's almost impossible to follow, but that's not the point. It's funny. The animation is bright and winning and pleasant. The film is only 47 minutes long. And you don't really beg for it to continue. Again, the characters, all little Lego toys, are tough to recognize sometimes. You can recognize Chewbacca. He's pretty clearly extraordinary. Anthony Daniels provides the voice of C-3PO, who's there too. It's rated TVG. And certainly it's suitable for even little kids who I think will probably like it better than their parents. 2.5 stars for the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. Now, another film that is rated PG and really is suitable for older kids is The Personal History of David Copperfield. This is available for rent on various streaming services, and it will be in theaters at some point soon. And they call it The Personal History of David Copperfield because this is closer to the actual novel. And it begins with David as a grown man, an aspiring writer, narrating his own story as part of a performance. Listen.
Whether I turn out to be the hero of my own story, whether that station will be held by anybody else, these moments must show.
My boyhood days seem now like a scarcely believable fiction.
London is full of wonders and wickedness. And it's ours, David, to go wherever we choose.
I'm David Copperfield. I'm your nephew. You're the only family I have.
You had nothing, then you had something, and now you got nothing again. So stands to right, you'll have something again.
Okay, the film is flat out wonderful. It is gorgeous to look at. It has a terrific cast. Dev Patel plays David Copperfield. They would call it an inclusive cast. There's every shade of the rainbow here. Tilda Swinton plays his aunt, Betsy Trotwood. Hugh Laurie is Mr. Dick. Yes, that's his name in the book. The film is faithful to Dickens. It is gorgeous to look at. It moves along and creates these incredibly vivid, sympathetic characters, which reminds me, when I read the book first 50 years ago, more than that, I fell in love with the characters, and you fall in love with them all over again. Mr. Micawber, Uriah Heep, played by Ben Whishaw, and the rest. This is surely going to be a major Oscar contender, and for a variety of categories, it's certainly one of the best films of the year. 4 stars for the PG rated the personal history of David Copperfield. Another film, which may even get some Oscar attention, is called The Nest. Very downbeat. It is about a family in crisis. Jude Law plays a commodities trader, kind of a hotshot, and it's in the 1980s. And he decides to bring his American family back with him to his native Britain to move into a big, creepy country house. Listen.
You shouldn't be working for someone else. Be your own boss. Build your own place. Own your own horses.
Something doesn't feel right.
It's not your job to worry. You leave that to your husband.
It scares me that you actually think that. I saw some deposits you made. It's nowhere near what you're spending.
Don't worry. I have a huge check coming in at the end of the month. Everything's going to be fine.
Okay, this is obviously when somebody says everything's going to be fine in a movie, you know it's going to be very dark. And the movie is. It's about a marriage coming apart. Jude Law is co-stars with Carrie Coon. They have two children. You know all of these characters extremely well. And the film is haunting. He is a guy who is asked at one point by a driver, what do you do? What's your job? He says, my job is pretending to be rich. And clearly he's suffering from problems with debt and a certain amount of phoniness in his life. What's fascinating about it is even though very little happens in the movie, it is all so intense and it keeps you on edge and then serves up some real surprises. Is it a song in your heart kind of movie? No. I mean, unless that song is Oh Woe Is Me, it's a movie about crisis in people's careers and relationships. But is it worth seeing? It's the best performance, I think, of Jude Law's career. 3 stars for The Nest, which is available on various streaming services. And finally, there's a film called Truth is the Only Client, which is coming out for the Kennedy assassination anniversary, which is, of course, coming up this weekend. Today is the 20th, this is the 22nd, is the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. It goes back and interviews a lot of the people who are still alive and sharp who participated in the Warren Commission investigation of the killing of John F. Kennedy. Listen.
Everyone remembers where he was on the day that President Kennedy was assassinated.
The Chief Justice said to us, your only client is the truth.
Frankly, if we could find a conspiracy, we'd all be national heroes.
Okay, some of the drama that was felt by some of those very distinguished people who served on the Warren Commission, I had forgotten that Stephen Breyer, the Supreme Court Associate Justice, was on the Warren Commission. What's fascinating about this is they interview some of the original witnesses that spoke to the commission, including Lee Harvey Oswald's neighbor, who knew the Oswalds as well as anybody. The film settles the issue. If it hasn't been settled so far, it's 2.5 hours. It is utterly riveting. It is for adults only because it shows slowed down version of that famous Zapruder footage. It also gives you a glimpse of the autopsy photos that most people have never seen. 3 stars for Truth is the Only Client. It is for adults, but it is a compelling and satisfying piece of work. Coming up on Monday, we have the New York Times claiming that Thanksgiving was a myth. Really? They take a deeper look. So will we in this greatest nation on God's green earth.